I'm excited about this morning. We have gone over the Logos side of things, the Word. There's been no lack of diligence to study to understand the Hebrew in which this was written and the context in which it is in. And now it's up to Rick to bring the passion through his personality. We're pretty excited about this. Now, Psalm 119, what is great in our study of Psalm 119 as we did this is that it is the author is, most people either land on David, King David, or Ezra. I lean towards Ezra, which kind of was what got us here as we walked through the post-exile books of the Bible. But here's what's cool, is that it's most likely written over time. Over one person's lifetime as a young man moving into different stages of life throughout a lifetime, these little excerpts that are written, all the Hebrew alphabets starting each section off, written through a lifetime. And what's cool is we have quite an age range in regards to those that are bringing the word. So we get to hear this kind of an understanding of the word through Psalm 119, as we have different ages and different stages of life bring the word over the next 3 weeks. I'm pretty excited about it. So if you would, please welcome Deacon Rick Spitzer to the stage.
Justin, hello, hello. Thanks, Bobby.
As in keeping with our tradition, if you feel comfortable, if you would reach your hand forward as we pray for Rick. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would be with Rick, that you would use him mightily, that you would speak to him, that you would speak through him to your glory and our joy and the edification and encouragement of the church, Lord God. Lord, we love him, and we know that you love him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it up for Rick.
Yeah. You guys ready for this? Well, good morning. It's awesome to be here, you guys. Good morning. I'm not sure you guys heard me. Good morning. I realized as I was prepping for this that I have to temper my excitement for being here today, because not everybody's a morning person like I am. So I guess the 16 cups of coffee didn't help either, but I am raring to go. As Bobby mentioned, I'm Rick Spitzer. I work mainly with the greetings team in the morning, which I see most of you. And as he also mentioned, I am a elder with training wheels. Hopefully that one of those wheels is going to come off today. So if you're a visitor here, the main goal for me today is to not do something or say something that's going to keep you from coming back next week, the week after, and the week from there. So there's the pressure with that. Now, before we get started, what I really want to do is talk about this preach-off. So he mentioned a little bit about this preach-off from before, right? And so that has an air of competitiveness to it. And for those of you that know me, right, I'm just not that competitive guy, right? We know that. Sorry, I couldn't even say that truthfully. But frankly, the process of going through this is a real humbling one. For those of you that have done this, you know that this process can certainly humble you. The amount of thought and research that has to come into this is just insurmountable. But God has brought me here today, and I'm glad to be here. Now, in preparation for this, I've used quite a few resources. You've got, of course, the Bible, right? That's the number one resource. Gone online, Bibleorg.com, Charles Spurgeon, you guys have heard of him. And what was really interesting as I went through this process, I came across some writings of somebody that I didn't think that I knew them. I didn't think that I knew them, but as I read through this, it just resonated to me, and I kept being drawn back to these words. And so as I looked a little closer to the picture that was online, I said, hey, I know this guy. Somehow I know this guy, and I couldn't figure out how I knew him. So I went and I did a little bit of research on LinkedIn, kind of stalked him a little bit, frankly. And I said, this was a guy that I was stationed with when I was in the military 30 years ago. Now, the fun part about that, he was a Christian man way back then. And he was, you know, doing his thing to kind of spread the word in his position in the Air Force. And at that age, I just wasn't having it, right? I'm in Las Vegas. I'm not really wanting to hear that. And how interesting is it that today I stand before you using a lot of his wisdom from back then to be able to stand in front of you today? It just talks about that divine intent. So I'm really, really glad. And I've reached out to him actually on a couple of formats. So it would be Facebook, LinkedIn. I tried calling his church. He hasn't responded, so I think he does think I am stalking him. So we're gonna have to address that later on. There's a big sense of trust that happens when you come up and you're asked to preach the Word of God. It starts with God trusting me to be able to speak and feed his sheep, right? It takes trust from Bobby to be able to say, I want you to go up and be the face of the church. It takes a lot for you guys to trust me to come here and sit here and listen to me. Remove the things that are in your mind, the things that get in our way when we come to listen to the Word. And so I thank all of you for being here today, but I did have a good laugh as I was prepping, thinking about being the face of anything. You know, I've been told many times that I have the face, but the face for radio. So I'm not sure that I really want to be here. And quite frankly, it questions the judgment that Bobby has to put me here. But before we get into the actual Word, I want to get a little personal with you guys. And I hope that that's okay. I think it's going to help this message. And it's going to actually help me deliver that message to you. So, you know, a long time ago, I started off as a product of what this world has to offer. I was raised in and out of a drug-addicted mom's house. She had five kids, so I actually have four brothers and one sister, all prior to adoption. And she had three different fathers with that, mine of which I was never able to meet. So when we talk about father, it comes to the Bible, it really, really means something to me. Now, the age of range of all these kids, I think we're all within 6 years of each other. So five kids, imagine that, within like a 6 to 7 year range. It just talks about the rapid fire mentality that we had in that house at that time. Now, when you have that kind of life, you can only get along with that for so long, and then you're going to be exposed. And so as a result of that, I was put into various foster homes, to an orphanage, and then finally adopted by my mother. There she is. Everybody say hi, Mom. That's Shirley. Now, back then, prior to that, we were often hungry. We were always poor and abused at the hands of the various people that came in and out of these houses. And I say this, you'll understand why I say this a little bit later. Each step of the way, there were bouts of mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Although I was always able to put on that happy face going through life, you know, it kind of manifested itself with me later in my adult years in things like being sinful, lack of trusting anything permanent, as you can imagine, anger, certainly anger, and some emotional instability. My wife could probably verify that that's truly the case. It was my weight that I was carrying through this process. And I say all this not to be, you know, looking for any kind of sympathy, but only because it gives kind of a context as I go through this text, the lens that I was looking through when I went through this. And I wanted to share that with you so you guys could really kind of understand where I was coming from. Yeah, I broke down a few times, but hey, this is what this process is about, and I'm you know, really glad to be able to share that with you. Now, when Bobby asked us to prepare Psalm 119, right, it's the longest psalm in there, and there was no way I was going to teach the whole thing. So he said, Will, Rick, Jake, find some scriptures in there that you want to preach on. And the interesting thing that happened as I did that is I couldn't find them. They found me. The similarities between what we're going to learn today about this psalmist and his desire to be free with what I experienced in my later adult life, and perhaps some of you, it ties together really, really nicely. These verses speak to the pathway that God chose for him, that he chose it for me, and hopefully for you guys as well. Through our reading today, it's going to show that the psalmist recognized that he was broken. He recognized that he could not do it alone, and he had a complete dependency on God. He gained the understanding that he has to apply what he learned through God's word in order to give him that pathway to right relationship. We all have to be there, right? We have to learn. We have to be able to say that we're broken. We have to be able to say that we are dependent upon God, and we have to be able to apply those things in our daily life to have a right relationship with him. I can tell you that I have the same desire as a psalmist does, and that's to be loved by God. The goal today is to relay that message in a way that you, if you have your own struggles, that you recognize that there is that pathway which leads you from the condition that we're in straight to a life with Jesus. Now, there's going to be a little bit of repetitiveness in this reading because it's that important, right? I don't think you can over-communicate when it comes to a message like this. It's our salvation that's at stake. I simply ask that you take the few minutes to hear the Word of God, right? We all come in here with our busy lives. We got lots going on. Take what you've got, put it to the side, and give me the next 15 or 20 minutes to absorb that message. Now, we're going to start with this question. Have you found yourself overburdened? Have you found yourself anxious? Have you felt pain, anxiety, some loss in your life? Have you based those challenges that the world can give you right on your shoulders? This is the type of feeling that can keep you in your tracks, stifle your growth. And when I say stifle, I don't mean like smoking a pack of cigarettes and drinking six cups of coffee. I mean, it's going to stifle your growth with your relationship with God. Now, I found this very applicable quote that's going to be up on the board by Charles Spurgeon, which speaks to the heaviness that we can all feel at times. Heaviness of soul kills, and when it abounds, it threatens to turn life into a long death in which a person seems to drop away in a perpetual drip of grief. There's no good point regarding this downcast state, for it is better to be melted away with grief than to be hardened by the lack of repentance. The scriptures we're reading today address the struggles that affect this psalmist and the recognition of his contribution to his own condition. It's something that we should be able to take a look at ourselves as well. It talks about his willingness to be taught and the acknowledgement that he cannot do it alone. This ties beautifully into how we take ourselves from our struggle to our victory all through God's glory. Please stand and join me in the reading of God's word. It's going to be Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. It's going to be page 512 in your pew Bible, so I want to see everybody grab one. If you do not have a Bible, as we always offer up, you can take that one home with you, and we do not want to see it on eBay later. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. This is the word of God. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and ask that you speak to me, through me, to your people, that we can earnestly examine ourselves as it relates to the message this morning. Father God, we know that you will meet us where we are, but I pray that each of us can also do the same for you this morning. We pray for the opening of our hearts, our minds, removing all the distractions of this world, and that we allow you in. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, please be seated. So today we're going to exegete from the text, which means to take that and bring it to us. This beautiful transformation that this psalmist is going to go through, where he goes from clinging to the dust in verse 28, as we just read, to run in the way of your commandments in verse 32. This is the same message that I hope will resonate through all of you as we go through this text. So my main point tonight is, today, I can't get out here fast enough, it feels like. I can't, he can, so I will. Further explained is I can't, which is our confession of our sinful nature. It's critical. He can, which is our submission to God and the word of God and his law, to I will, which is the transformation of taking us from learning it and applying it into our daily life. Point one, I can't. Now, this is a confession, right? We must first recognize our own condition. Up on the slide. Yep. We must recognize our own condition that we are in and that we're willing to change it. Recognizing is part one. Willing to change is the critical part of part two. To do so, we have to acknowledge the relationship that we have with our own sin and our inability to correct it without the complete dependency on God. Agreed? So look at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Now, in this verse, the psalmist, he's depressed and he's downcast. In essence, he's feeling the heaviness of the world on his shoulders and the reflection of his own sinful life. He is seemingly acknowledging the weight of the world is on his shoulders, driving him into the dust. So when you think of clinging to the dust, how does that speak to each of you? What is your dust? What weight are you carrying around that prevents you from understanding your own sin? If we look further into verse 26, when I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. That is a clear cry for help. Do you agree? This speaks to his own confession, when I told of my ways. Now, we can clearly see that the psalmist is crying out as he wants so much more of God's law inside of him. It's implied here that he abundantly wants to serve God. So he cries out, teach me your statutes. He understands that God is holy and sovereign and basically is the only one that's going to be able to remove this sin from his life. He cannot do it alone. I think we need to find ourselves in that spot always. We got to recognize that this is just not us. Now, through learning God's law, he understands that it's the vehicle that's truly going to align his heart directly with God. It's the only way to know God more intimately. Up on the board, it says in Psalm 51:3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Because sin is ever present and a reality in our life, it's essential that we have the knowledge to recognize it before it strikes us down. We have to. It's critical. Further in Psalm 119, we're moving on to verse 28. "Give me life according to your word." This is the proclamation and the understanding that he cannot do it alone and that God is going to be able to deliver him from his own condition. This is another cry. He wants God to change his life, and he has a willingness. He desires repair of his heart, and he wants to be able to replace that anxiety with fulfillment. We all want that. We all want that sense of purpose that only God can give us. So similarly for all of us, when we fall, right, or we sin, we stumble, we get that sense of unworthiness. And this is the avenue that the enemy puts us down to convince us that we're hopeless. God has other plans for us. We are worthy. Now, this can lead to dejection, downheartedness, and a misaligned relationship with God if we cannot get there. It can keep you in that very, very difficult place. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it speaks to this dependency up on the board. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Amen? That leads into point 2. He can. He can is our submission. We must submit entirely to God, his law, and his word. I can't, he can. If you look in verse 27, "Make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." Now, this is the psalmist's continued cry to help from God. You noticing the theme? Continued cry to God. Continued cry to God. He's not asking Joe. He's asking God. Teach me and make him understand God's law. You understand the word make. He's recognized that he can't do it alone and the complete dependency. So he needs God to make him feel that way. For we all are ignorant of this law. When I say we're all ignorant of this law, God's word, just means we have a lack of knowledge. Doesn't mean we're stupid. So although the psalmist, he understands his shortcomings, but he understands also that he has an undeniable hope that comes with his request. He's still in that phase. He's on his knees. He's still asking for God. He cannot do it on his own. Watch as this process changes through these verses. He also knows that not only understanding it, but actively participating in the obedience of God's law is imperative. Understanding is one. Putting it to good use is number two. One can't be done without the other. This isn't something that you have the ability to just be neutral on. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to do this and hopefully that'll happen. We are not Switzerland here, guys. We can't be neutral. You have to pick a side. This is why he says, God, let me meditate on God's law, God's word. It's critical for us. So I kind of liken this as an example of someone that's preparing or that has a final exam, right? Let's say they're a Christian even, and they know that final exam's coming, and they show up and they go, "Ooh, that exam's today, and I have not prepared." What's that Christian going to do? They're going to run over here and go, dear God, if you just help me out this one last time, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I have to pass this final exam. Yeah, what begs the question, what preparation are we doing? Think of that person. Yeah, I'm sorry. So what do you think God's answer is going to be if you go ask that prayer and you have not prepped? It may not be what we want it to be. Again, to seek God and his law, we need to do a couple of things. We need to suppress the feeling that we can't do it alone, that our way is the best way. It's hard for me, maybe hard for some of you guys. And as I quoted from thebible.org, I'm quoting, which I love the way this kind of describes this process, and I'm just going to read this out loud. We must have consistent, thoughtful study of God's word in an effort to build an awareness of his presence. The word of God will come to us in many ways. It may come to us through the ministry of a pastor like Bobby, deacon with training wheels like Rick, or as we engage in our communities. We put a lot of effort into our communities here, and I think that's something we'd be extremely proud of, the way that we do our communities here, and I think that's one way that you're going to learn this. The primary way, however, is to get into God's word. It comes simply to us by just reading it ourselves. As we prayerfully and meditatively read the Bible, the Holy Spirit uses what we are reading to provoke our own consciousness about it, calm our fears, stir up our minds in a way that we can think that we are faithful to God. Now, this solidifies the proven pathway that our prayers are done, and we can have this conduit to God to have our prayers answered. That's the only way to do it. So what I'd like to do is move on to point three, which is the application. We must apply the things that we've learned from God's word and embed them in our daily lives. In verse 30, it states, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I love that sentence. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. This is a clear choice of that psalmist to live in God's will. Somehow, people think we just kind of luckily land in this spot. It just doesn't happen. You've got to make the conscious decision to go grab it. The Lord wants you to do that. None of us becoming anything, especially in a right alignment with God, is just done by simple wishful thinking. Right? We have to act. In verse 31, where it says, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord, let me not be put to shame. I cling to your testimonies. The psalmist is proclaiming of his willingness to follow in the way of faithful obedience. It's a bold statement that he's willing to live his life according to God. This, let me not be put to shame, this speaks to God's promise that if we live out our faith and we hold on to it tightly, he'll be there for us. Wouldn't you all agree? The psalmist knows, but he also understands that if he doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, he's going to be served with a large portion of shame. None of us want to sit in that place. Although God's not going to shame him, there's this implication here that he will not be honored by God. Up on the board, we see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, what have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Furthermore, in verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Again, one of my favorite parts of this scripture is because if you think about where he started from in verse 25, clinging to the dust, he's now running to the Lord. He's not walking, he's running. Not skipping, he's running. He's going to run in the ways of your commandments. He recognizes that the entire process here is a matter of the heart, starting with his sincere confession, a confirmation of his willingness to be changed, and then the willingness then to apply that in his daily life. You see the repetitiveness here that I spoke about early on. That's with intent. You have to learn this. You have to repeat it time. Start over. Do it again. The application here, that this means when you truly receive God, he will give you that lifelong transformation. And I don't just say this because it's in my writings here. I really believe that. You cannot be transformed unless we can receive these elements and apply them. It's an amazing thing. And he'll change your heart. He'll enlarge in it. He'll strengthen your heart. When you accept him as your Savior, you will be completely transformed. Now, the course of life as a result is going to be gracious. It's going to be sincere and earnest so that we can attribute all of this free favor to God. Now, I ran through this really, really quickly. partly because I was a little nervous, but frankly, because it's just easy to talk about. In summary, I just want to say that the psalmist, what he did in these verses, we all have to understand, similarly to him, that we have to recognize our own shortcomings, relationship to sin. That's the confession part. We need to be consistent in our dedication to learning God's word and recognizing that we cannot do it on our own. And we have to live our life with his law, and that's the application part. When we do this, it means you understand the correlation between recognizing where you are in your fallen condition and how God's word can direct you on the pathway to a relationship with him. Now, although our acknowledgement of sin is the same as the psalmist, the amazing difference between him and us today as New Testament Christians is that our I can't is draped with the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It turns our I can't to I can. The psalmist had to look forward to the future of hope of what was to come through a messianic Savior. Guess what? We already have one. Amen? Thank you. You know, guys, I wasn't going to do this, but I bought this amen board that when you plug in, it's this big, and I just press it, and it goes amen, and you guys all like an applause sign, and I'm not getting what I was hoping for there, so I may have to break that out if I ever find my way back up here again. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. So I appreciate that. So now comes to the hard question portion of our program for you. Amen. Thank you. I can always count on my wife. So before we do that, I really want to kind of wrap this around because I opened myself up and I told you what product of the world that I was and how I was raised up in this. And although I hope you see the difference, I want to explain to you how this has changed my life. For me, the transformation is still a work in progress, and I think we're all going to find ourselves there. Probably slower than preferred. Right, babe? But thanks be to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I am now slow to anger. I recognize my sin better, and I repent for it, and I completely realize my dependency on God to get there. And I have an implementation willingness to be able to put that into my life. Now, however, I still struggle. I struggle to believe that I'm loved, and that's some of the products that happen from being raised in that way. So I struggle that my wife loves me, like I think. I really struggle that God loves me in that way. But this is what this process is designed for me to do. And as I quote Paul Wilson, that is, the future is bright. Thank you, Paul. I had to pay for that, by the way. So let's talk about you guys. I have a few questions for you. When it's time for your final exam, are you going to be prepared? Prepared being defined as admitting your shortcomings. Can we all do that? Defined as submitting yourself to the word, to God's law, and then further defined as applying it into your daily life. I'll give you a clue when you know that you've gotten there. You'll know because you will be transformed from I can't up on the board. He can, so I will, to I can. He has, so I did. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're kicking the tires. I love that term, kicking the tires of Christianity. If you simply just have more questions than you do have answers, I invite you to know more. We have elders that will be here. We have Bobby that's here. We ask that you come see them, and we will guide you through this because it's life-changing. Did I ever think I would be standing up in front of these people preaching God's word 2.5 years ago? No, didn't think that was going to happen. But through his grace and through this church and through God using the people here to reach out and grab me and bring me back, this is the transformation. With the love and help of my wife and my family and my mom, I'm a different person. So I invite you to go down that same journey. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. I pray that as we go out into our busy lives, that we can take some of your teachings, Lord, hopefully all of it, and apply it as we go out into our community. Your guidance, your forgiveness, and love is abundantly clear, and all we have to do is receive you. Lord, we're thankful for your sacrifice, which gives us the eternal relationship with you. There's no one like you, and we love you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. That is all I have this morning. Thank you.